Let the church say amen.
Amen.
What a joy it is to be here. Something about that name, amen.
Amen.
There's coming a day every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm honored to be back here tonight. Boy, if it wasn't for Jesus, we might as well go home. But he's here, and I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. Honored to be here. Got a couple of my sons, a couple of guys from our church here, and we thank the Lord for what's gone on before we got here. God is on the move, amen. And he's looking for some young people and adults alike that get on the move with him. And I want to move where he's moving, amen. Thank you for the message, Brother Samson. I appreciate your heart and sharing what God laid on your heart. And we need the word of God, amen. And certainly thank the Lord. I wrestled with what to preach, and then you preach what you preached, and God confirmed it, and listen to the music. God confirmed it. I'm always amazed that when I'm perplexed, he never is. Amen. I don't think he ever scratches his head, never gets stressed out about anything. He's always in control. And I pray this message for today. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, if you would. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet with me, if you will, for the reading of God's word. We're in the 12th chapter, 1 Chronicles. And for sake of time, let me go to verse number 38, and we'll deal with this entire chapter in a timely manner. But let's go to verse number 38, if we could. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king of all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And they were with David 3 days eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and oxen and meat and meal and cakes and figs, bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. For there was joy. Amen. There was joy in Israel. I don't know about you, I like joy. And only God can give it. Father, I pray you give me unction to function today. And as your vessel, you cleanse me of sin and me of self and filled with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. I can't do anything that can help anybody, but I know a God who can. I pray that in these next few moments as we gather around your word, that you would open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We don't just want to be stirred. We want to be changed. So help us. I need you. Watch over my wife, the rest of my family while I'm gone. And bless this service. If you so tarry and give us longer on planet earth, help us to do more now than we ever have before.
Amen.
And to glorify your name. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I don't need to say very much about King Saul. Pastor Samson just told us how Saul was chosen and Saul was rejected. But I'm glad that when somebody gets rejected, that God knows how to raise up somebody else.
Amen.
God did just that. He raised up David, a man after God's own heart. David was God's choice. David was God's anointed. David was God's man. And all of a sudden, as Saul had rejected David before David came to the throne, when Saul was finally killed, some of those after Saul wanted Saul's son Ishbosheth to reign, while others wanted David to reign. So I want you to picture the nation of Israel. Supposed to be one nation, but they were divided. Some were voting for Ishbosheth. Some were voting for David. Some were still loyal to Saul, and some were loyal to David. So you had a country supposed to be united, that was divided. But by the time Ishbosheth is murdered, we begin to see that those divided and separated all began to come together to one place, one position, for one purpose, And here's how the Bible makes it plain. To make David king. Now God had already done that. He was already God's man. But God was waiting on the people of God to agree with the will of God as to who his man was. And there was no doubt about it. There wasn't going to be a vote. There wasn't going to be a poll. People weren't going to go into some booth. God wasn't interested in opinions. God wasn't interested in status quo. God had chosen somebody. God had anointed somebody. God had declared somebody. God had decreed with somebody. And Israel got together in one direction, on one accord, with one heart and one purpose to make David king. Here's what they were saying. We're not divided. We're not confused. We're not perplexed. We're not unsure. Oh, we're not in the middle of the road. We're not neutral. We're not undecided. We know who God's choice is. We know who God's man is. We know that who God has anointed. We know who God stands behind. We know who's supposed to sit on the throne. And we made up our mind that we agree with God's mind. We're here with one heart to crown David King. Amen. Until they were united on God's choice, they were out of control. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we are watching a nation of Israel coming together in the north and in the south. We're watching them come together. That crowd that was once for Saul said, not anymore. That crowd that was for David welcomed these new supporters. And here they were in unity, without division, without confusion, with one accord saying, David is God's man. And if he's God's man, he's our man. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to take long tonight, but I will tell you what's wrong with the church. We don't need a new king. I said we don't need a new king. We're not waiting on the White House. We're not waiting on Congress. We're not waiting on the Supreme Court. We're not waiting on the president. We're not waiting on the fads and the trends and the status quo and the paradigm shifts. Can I tell you, God's already made his choice. Under which of the angels has he said, today have I begotten thee? But God's choice is his lovely son Jesus, born of a virgin, that sinless Savior. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, immutable, unchangeable. He's God's choice. The problem with the average youth group, problem with the average family, problem with the average church, is we got people that are divided. They want Jesus, but they want hip-hop. They want Jesus, but they want pornography. They want Jesus, but they want LeBron. They want Jesus, but Lady Gaga Goo-Goo. They want Jesus in drugs. They want Jesus in sex. They want Jesus in gays, Jesus in alcohol. Somebody's got to emerge out of the chaos of indecision, out of the chaos of apathy, out of the chaos of confusion. Somebody's got to say, I'm not perplexed. I'm not confused. I'm not undecided. I'm not neutral. I'm not in the middle of the road. I've made up my mind. I know who my king is. His name is Jesus. God's looking for an army. Oh, wouldn't it be something if we lead this youth rally and we go back to that world and say, we know who our king is. We know who our master is. We know who our Lord is. I want to tell you, I'm here tonight to tell you, oh, hail the power of Jesus then. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Of his kingdom there'll be no end. For his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Somebody's got to leave this rally and say, no more indecision, no more apathy, no more confusion in my school, on my job, in my neighborhood, in my generation. I'm here to make Jesus king. Now I want to preach very quickly about this army, because we need one. Now the preacher just said we got an armor. I don't think we're missing armor, we're just missing soldiers. Amen. Jesus don't care about your basketball game. Jesus don't care about your video game. Jesus don't care about your shoe game. He don't care about your name brand clothes. He want to know whether you know who your king is. Amen. See, the world wants your background check, and the world wants your credit report, and the world wants to know what color you are and what family you're from and what school you're a part of. But Jesus wants to know one thing. Who's your king? Who's your king? Who do you love? Who do you adore? Who do you serve? Who do you care about? Who's number one? Who matters in your life? Who loved you? Who died for you? Who cleansed you? Who redeemed you? Who justified you? Who sanctified? Wasn't nobody but Jesus. Now look at this army. Verse number two, very quickly, they were a skilled army. Verse two, armed with bows. I like this. They could use the right and use the left. Somebody say amen. These were prepared folks, proficient folks. I'm moving quickly. They could handle the word of God. I said they could handle their sword. I said they could handle their weapon. They could shoot it. They could sling it. Somebody help me preach. I'll tell you what's wrong in America. We got kids in church not to sing in choir. We got kids in church not to hold a microphone. We got kids in church not to dress good. We got girls not to wear it down here and wear it up here and praise the Lord for it. But I'm telling you, that ain't going to get you past that devil. That ain't going to get you past that world. And that sure ain't going to give you victory over that flesh. We got kids that know how to play the best video games. We got kids that know how to shoot a gun. We got kids that know how to troubleshoot a computer. We got kids that know how to balance a checkbook. We got kids that know how to speak languages. We got kids that know how to fly planes, drive cars, and do everything. But God give us boys and girls who know how to handle the word of God with the right hand and with the left. They've read it. They've studied it. They've memorized it. They've meditated on it. And they've, I'm not asking you how good you are at Madden football. I'm asking how good you are at that book right here. They were skilled. We can't afford any slouches in this army. Somebody say amen. Number two, they were separated. I'm moving. Verse 8, the Gadites separated themselves. I'm not talking about what your mama did to you. I'm talking about what you did to yourself. See, you come to this conference right here, the youth pastors and the pastors and the leaders will separate you. When you leave this building, you go to the shopping mall, you got to separate yourself. When you get on social media, you got to separate yourself. Your Instagram, you got to separate yourself. Your Snapchat, you got to separate yourself. Your mouth, your dress, your attitude. I don't believe in separation. You don't believe the Bible. Now, we may land in different places as different churches, but we can never land at a total lack of separation. Amen. They were set apart. Listen, look at the word of God. They were set apart. The Bible said they were fit for the battle. Amen. They were serious. I mean, the Bible said they were fast. They were swift. And the Bible said they were special. God give us boys and girls, men and women that have a separation about them, a distinction about them. Hey, you know what the word holy means? It means marked off. I'm marked off. I said I'm marked off. No, I'm not talking about black or African American. I've never been to Africa. But I'm not talking about black or African. I'm talking about marked off. I'm holy. I belong to somebody. When nobody wanted me, Jesus wanted me. When nobody could afford me, Jesus could afford me. When there wasn't a rose red enough, there wasn't a lamb white enough, there wasn't a man good enough, God sent forth his son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them under the law. He had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Scarcely for a righteous man some would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. When the world comes with their music, and the devil comes with his thoughts, and society comes with their nonsense, hold up, I'm marked off. They were separated. Number three, they were servants. They were servants. You can't have me. I already belong to somebody. Amen. I said I already belong to somebody. Amen. Ain't nobody going to the junkyard looking for a Volkswagen when you got a souped up Cadillac in the garage. I'm already marked off. I ain't looking for something. I've already found the main thing. They were servants. Look at verse 18. Here comes Amasai. Notice what the Bible said. The Spirit of God came on him. Where are the people with the Spirit of God on them? Amen. We don't judge the Spirit of God by where you put your hand up. I tell our church all the time, I'm for raising hands as long as they're holy. Some folk in the church need to keep the hand down. Now, I may be busting somebody's bubble, but if all you got is a raised hand in church, if that's the height of your spirituality, don't plan on serving God too long. Amen. God don't just want you to raise your hand. God wants you to give him your heart. Somebody got to be led by the Spirit of God. That's more than a shout in church. That's led by the Spirit of God to be filled. Led by the Spirit of God to be emptied. Led by the Spirit of God to be guided. Led by the Spirit of God to be directed. To let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. God can't fill you if you're already full of yourself. Led by the Spirit. How about this? Loyal in their support. Listen to Amasai. Thine are we. David, thine are we. We're here for one reason. We believe in you. And we belong to you. Does anybody believe in Jesus tonight? Does anybody belong to Jesus tonight? Can he have your mind? Can he have your emotions? Can he have your will? Can he have your dreams? Can he have your relationships? Can he have your ambitions? Can he have your desires? Can he have your goals? Can he have your objectives? Can he have your family? Can he have your kids? Can he have your marriage? Can he have your college plans? Loyal in their spirit, loving in their service. Look at the verse. Peace be unto thee and peace to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Jesus, we're for you because God's for you. Come on. Would you think that ever in the United States of America we'd have people divided about Jesus? This is where we are. We spend all our time fussing about prayer out of schools and the Bible out of school. We let it happen. I said we let it happen. They took the Bible out of my school. Did they take you out your school? Do you carry your Bible? Put two and two together, bucko. They can't get the Bible out of school if they don't put you out of school if you have your Bible. Boom, shakalaka-laka. I'm trying to tell you, God still got you. God still got a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and a Daniel in Babylon that'll turn the light on when everybody's turned it off. But he's not looking for movie stars. He's not looking for showboats. He's not looking for LeBron, for Steph, or some fancy person. He's looking for a servant that'll say, you love me. You died for me. You saved me. You changed me. I belong to you. They were servants. I'm moving along. Here's one of my favorite. They were sensible. Verse 32. And the children of Issachar. You in your Bible? Don't take my word for it. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had what? What? Understanding of what? The time. You know what the problem is with this army we got in church today? We got a Smurf army. They don't have a clue. La 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 la. You know what? They're just oblivious. See, if you're a youth pastor in 2018, you got to understand the times. You got to understand that the kids that you're preaching to every Sunday got a smartphone. Amen. Since that's the problem. The problem not wrong with the phone. There's nothing wrong with the phones. The problem is we've given smartphones to dumb people. Amen. And see, if you give something really smart to somebody that's dumb, you're going to have problems. The problem is we used to have to leave the house and go down the road to find sin. You don't even have to get out to bed. It's right on your phone. Don't get quiet on me. I tell our church, you get quiet on me, you're indicting yourself. Help me now. I'm going to quit here in just a little bit, but I'm trying to tell you we need some sensible army people. Understand the times that every sitcom has a homosexual on it. And by the way, Jesus loves everybody, but he doesn't love sin. That rap music and rock music has a theme of sex, drugs, and rebellion. That the average teenager spends 11 hours and 23 minutes a day on some form of social media. That 3 out of 4 of our seniors graduate without their virginity. That 20% of 15-year-olds have been involved in sex by the time they turn 15. That you need parental consent for an aspirin, but not protection to be immoral. I'm simply saying this ain't the day of Leave It to Beaver and Andy Griffith and I Love Lucy. We're living in perilous times. If you're going to fight in that battle, understand the times. Young lady, you got to understand the manufacturers, they're not trying to make clothes with modesty in mind. They ain't thinking about you when they put that half a skirt together. You're going to serve God, you have to work at it. You might have to take 2 of their skirts and make it into one. Somebody help me preach. I'm not preaching legalism. I'm just simply saying you got to understand the times. People get nervous when I start talking about modesty. What are you nervous about? It's in the Bible. You disrespect me if I don't preach the whole Bible. Can't preach what you want to hear. Preachers always giving us a black eye. You ought to see the black eye the Holy Ghost gave him. You share my pain. God beat me up. You're going to get beat up too. We all going to take a hit for the team and get up and go serve God. Somebody's got to understand the time. Understand, you can go to the Christian bookstore and find a Bible that's easy to read, but that doesn't make it God's word. Come on. Come on now. I'm saying you can buy a magazine about hunting and fishing, but that doesn't mean they won't put a naked woman in there. Huh? That the world is set up for you to fail. That society has more pitfalls out than you ever could imagine. That the devil's not your friend. That the flesh didn't get saved. Come on, that Hollywood doesn't understand the message better than the Bible tells it. Amen. That profanity still sickens God. That pornography is a lie from the pit of hell. Somebody's got to understand it. To meet the marriage altar pure, you can't just draw up a picture on a napkin at Cracker Barrel about the colors in your wedding and how good your husband going to look and the little flower girl and the ring bearer. That may look good on a napkin, but you got to live for God. You got to do right. You got to get in this Bible. You got to separate yourself. You got to obey your mom and daddy. La, 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 la. I counsel people and say, do you realize how deadly that is? Oh, pastor, ain't that serious? La, 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 la. You don't want to look at that mess. Oh, I look at it, doesn't affect me. La, 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 la. It's just a few words. I don't listen to the words. I just listen to the beat. La, 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 la. Sensible, aware, alert, articulate. Number 5, sincere. Verse 33, not of double heart. Huh? Verse 38, keep rank. Amen. Stay in your lane. If I was the pastor, you're not the pastor. So you don't even need to say that. Ain't no use in thinking about what you do if you're not the pastor. When I have kids, you don't have no kids. If I was running the youth group, you ain't running the youth group. If I wrote the Bible, you ain't write the Bible. If I was the president, you ain't the president. Come on. If I was deciding what was right by way of Christ, you don't decide what was right. God does. So what do you want me to do, Pastor? Keep rank. Keep rank. I don't want you in the pew to tell me how to pastor. I don't want you as a child to tell me how to parent. Well, I don't think that's fair. I was a child. And I was in the pew. And I had to keep rank. And if I hadn't kept rank, I wouldn't have no rank. You picking up what I'm dropping? You feeling me? I'm trying to tell you, we got so many people that can't figure out life, that want to tell everybody how to live it. Mama, I just think, boy, put your hand down. You better be glad you didn't grow up with Jeanette Baldwin. Well, she'd have knocked them teeth out your mouth. We're living in a day and age where Christians don't know how to keep rank. They were upheld by humility. They were undefiled by hypocrisy, not of a double heart. You can't sing on Sunday and party on Saturday. Well, I don't understand why preaching is like that. Well, let me tell you something. When they sign up for the football team, they have to be committed to them. Huh? When they sign up for the military, they have to be committed to them. Now, how in the world we sign up to serve Jesus and we get the double dip? Hey, man, we got too many Christians want full-time benefits putting in part-time hours. Amen. Don't expect Jesus to pay your insurance when you're working on the devil's clock. United in heart, upheld by humility, undefiled by hypocrisy. I'm almost finished. Number six, they were sacrificial. They were with David. They were with David. Hey, army, where you going today? We're going wherever the king's going. What if the king goes to battle? I don't care about where he is as long as I'm with him. Preacher, I'm 12, I'm 13, 14, 15, 16, trying to figure out things in this world. There's sin on every hand, the devil on my back. My flesh is so wicked. Can you give me some advice as a teenager in 2018 in a postmodern humanistic society? Hey, here's the best I can give you. Wherever Jesus is, go with him. Just hang with him. Don't keep up with the Joneses. Don't keep up with the fads. Don't see what the athletes are doing. Go with Jesus. They were with him. Wow, they were selfless folks. Verse 39, eating and drinking with him. And they were substantial folks. They brought bread. Look at verse 40. They brought meat. Ain't a meal if it don't have meat. I go to preach sometime. I go down to the hotel. They said, we offer a continental breakfast. That's not breakfast. You need some meat at breakfast. Some bacon, some sausage, some ham, Spam, some scrapple. Come on now. I mean, some chicken, some fish, something. You need some meat. We got some vegetarians in the house. God bless you. Amen. Say, that meat's going to kill you. That's all right. I'm going to die of bad health, and you're going to be a vegetarian, and you're going to die of depression. Amen. We're both going to die. I'm going to die happy, and you're going to die miserable. We're going to eat meat in heaven. Amen. You say, I'm a vegetarian. Once you get glorified, you put those things behind you. I love calories and real butter and cholesterol. Amen. Sugar-free, cholesterol-free, fat-free, nasty. Amen. Bring me a original glazed Krispy Kreme donut with the hot sign on. Amen. By the way, Krispy Kreme got a lot of donuts. They got some with sprinkles, some with cream, some with jelly. They got the apple fritters. They got the Bavarian stuff like that. But they'll tell you still, top to bottom, their bestseller is that original glaze. You can't get away from that. And by the way, I thank God I'm still holding that original glaze tank. Amen. The world coming out with sprinkles and cream filled and apple fritters and jelly donuts. But when the hot sign's on, give me a man of God that'll still get under the spout where the glory comes out and give me a fresh original glaze. Amen. They were substantial. I don't know where that came from. Now I want you to get this, and I'm closing. They were showing up for a party. Here was the party. David's king. And we're for him. So if we're going to celebrate and coronate, then we need to contribute. Now everybody's at the party tonight, right? I'm and just a party tonight. The world will never beat us in partying. I mean, it's a party. You know why we party? Because Jesus is king. This is a celebration. Every service is a celebration. During the singing time, celebrate Jesus. Coronate Jesus. But what are you contributing? Ain't nothing worse than somebody show up at a party, don't bring nothing. And then want to eat the most. Lord, we're living in a day and age of greedy people. If it's one pan of macaroni and cheese, you can't have five spoonfuls if it's 30 people behind you, especially if you didn't bring nothing. The people want to eat the most that brought the least. Amen.
I don't like the color of the church carpet. Do you tithe?
Well, the service is too long. You wouldn't say that if you brought somebody with you. I don't know why we keep singing about the blood. If you were lost, you'd want somebody to sing about the blood. I'm simply saying it's party time. Jesus is alive. He's on the throne. Did you bring anything? Amen. Where's the contribution? Where are the teenagers that are so happy that Jesus is on the throne that every time they come to the party, they bring something? I'm closing. Lastly, they were satisfied. There was joy in Israel. Where do you get your joy from? The playoffs? Not me. I'm a Lakers fan. Where you get joy from? Politics? Are you kidding me? Politics are depressing. Where you get joy from? Money? Take you years to earn it and seconds to lose it. Where you get joy from? What relationship you're in? Really? We're tired of keeping up with who you're going with, who you're dating, and who's sweet on each other. We've lost count. Happiness comes from happenings. But joy comes from Jesus. You need a new iPhone to have joy. You need a better job to have joy. You need a start position in the starting lineup to have joy. You need a girl that'll say yes if you ask her out to have joy. You need a boy that makes your heart pitter-patter when you look at his biceps. You don't need better parents. You don't need a new car. You don't need a better world. You don't need more shoes. You don't need newer clothes. You need to make your mind up that Jesus is king. And there'll be some joy in your heart. Now, I'm looking around the crowd tonight, and sad to say, there's too much indecision, too much confusion. We expect them to be confused. They don't know them like we do. But for those of us who are saved, who've been redeemed, blood washed, heaven bound, Holy Ghost indwelt, Bible led and fed, we shouldn't be confused. When nobody loved us, he did. We ain't here because of dead Muhammad. We ain't here because fat Buddha. We ain't here because his mama Mary. We ain't here because no pope, no priest, no monk, no. We not here because some cow that used to be our grandma. We're here because he who knew no sin became sin for us. He walked on this earth for 33 and a half years, tempted at all points, yet without sin. We're here because after he was beaten, bruised, belittled, and brutalized, slapped, beard ripped out, cat of nine tail on his back, crown of thorns on his head, mocked and ridiculed, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, stripped off, put in a borrowed tomb, and the devil thought he had won the battle, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. That's my king. And I love him. And if this chorus of people tonight will join in with one heart and one mind, the crown Jesus King, I promise you, he will assemble an army that the gates of hell, the devil, all his demons, the world, and the flesh can never conquer. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Our Father, I pray you help us. Too many young people are confused. Heads bowed and eyes closed all over the building. I want how many you teenagers and adults will say, preacher, sometimes I'll admit I'm divided and I'm sorry. Tonight as a young person, I want my life to crown Jesus King. If that's you all over the building, would you raise your hand? Come on, come find your place on the altar. People all over are coming. Come on, get up from your seat. We can't halfway serve Jesus. All over the building. If you're here tonight, you say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me tonight, would you? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Thank you, young man. God bless you. Anyone else? You come, let somebody show you if you're not sure in just a moment. You come, let somebody show you. We'd be glad to have one of these workers help you. Standing up all over the room. Standing up, would you? What would our youth groups be like if everybody had crowned Jesus King? There's too much division. Oh, how wonderful and marvelous. And my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. Is it a big deal to you that he's on the throne? Then what are you contributing? I'm not asking if you come to church. I'm asking you if you bring something when you come. You say, I don't have much. No, but whatever you have, bring it. This is a celebration. This is a coronation. It demands contribution. Say, preacher, I'm not a good singer. I'm not a great teacher. I'm not an eloquent preacher. No, but you got something. And when that hymn book opens and we get a chance to sing the hymn, there's your chance to contribute. And when the service is over and somebody's got to break these chairs down and somebody's got to get up early in the morning and go pick up some kids, there's your chance to. I mean, if it's that big of a deal that he's king, what you got? And when it's time for church, you won't be going, oh, we got to go again. No, no, you go. We get a chance to party again. Because he's king. Let's sing that chorus. Oh, how marvelous, wonderful. Which one comes first? Well, just pick one. If you say marvelous first, say wonderful second. If you say wonderful first, say marvelous second. Because he's all that. And a bag of chips.